Welcome to another episode of Hearts Conversations with Maya. I've missed you guys. If you are a returning listener, I love you. And if this is your first time tuning into this particular podcast, you are welcome to just grab a glass of juice. You know how we do it. Right, let's dive right into it. So today's topic is tagged. Is love enough? So before now, I've always been in this school of thoughts. I've always said, love is not enough. In a relationship, love is not enough. It's not just love that makes it. You need this, you need that, right? And honestly, not just me, many people are also in the school of thought. So the purpose of this podcast is literally to really look into this, right? So first things I want to say is that love is not butterflies. It's not the butterflies that goes around your stomach when you are with someone who you feel in a certain way for, right? Love is not mushy feelings, mushy emotions, right? Love is a decision. Wow, love is a decision, and a very intentional decision at that. So, before now, okay, let me digress a little. So, saying love is not enough in a relationship, that means, you begin to list all the things, right? So, for me, I feel that before you get into a relationship with somebody, you don't just get into a relationship with somebody based on emotions, based on how you feel. There must be certain things that you have considered and put in place, right? Before you say, okay, I want to be with this person for the purpose of marriage. Like, I see myself with this person. I see myself having a future with this person. Those other things are paramount before you even begin to make that decision, right? So love is a decision. So I was studying the book of Ruth, and I came across a particular verse that changed me, that opened my eyes. I was going through the book of Ruth, and I couldn't just fathom the kind of person Ruth was, right? So let's go to that verse. That is Ruth chapter 4, verses 14 to 15. And it says, then the women said to Naomi, blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer, a grandson as heir today, and may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you one who restores life and sustains your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you and is better to you than 10 sons has given birth to you. Sorry, 7 sons. Wow. So, if you know the story of Ruth, right? Naomi lost her husband, lost her sons in the land of Moab, and Naomi was bitter. She was pained. She was at this place of excruciating pain. She couldn't just believe what was happening to her. She felt like God had dealt with her badly. I don't know if you have ever been around somebody that is bitter. Maybe you may now have a glance of the kind of person Naomi was. And then her daughter-in-laws were going with her, and she said, no, you guys don't come along with me. You're still young, you still have your whole life in front of you. Go back, go and get married, go and have children, go on with your life. God has forsaken me. She also went on to say, even if I should give birth to children right now, will you wait till they are this certain age and then you get married to them? Go and live your life. And one of the daughters-in-law left, and Ruth refused to go. Ruth said, your God, where you go, I will go. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. What? I'm beginning to picture Ruth as a modern day Christian lady, right? You just lost your husband. Why would you be fooling your mother-in-law around? Won't you nurse yourself and nurse him cure? We move. We move. If another person should come, but that was not Ruth's disposition. And I was trying to understand what to tell what Ruth did. It was now described in this verse. It says, your daughter-in-law who loves you. So we can see that everything Ruth did, from taking care of her mother-in-law, she would literally go to the farm and bring in the harvest and give to her mother-in-law. She would literally take instructions from her mother-in-law. The Bible in no way recorded that Naomi was the nicest mother-in-law ever. The Bible did not record that, right? So, do you see, Ruth had every reason not to do everything she was doing, but she loved. And this brought me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So I'm going to be reading the Amplified Bible, the classic version. I love this version. So let's go there. It says from verse 1, if I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love. And he went further to say, that reasoning, intentional spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us. He's saying, if I don't have love, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. He says, and if I have prophetic powers, the gifts of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all secret and truth and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, and I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing. It says, even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and I surrender my body to be burnt, or in order that I may glory, but I have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Wow. This goes further to show us that some people give not even out of love. And anything that is not done out of love, you're not going to get the desired result from it. If you don't give out of love, you're going to begin to have some kind of expectations. This is another topic I don't want to even dive right into. But everything we do ought to be from the place of love. Right? And it goes further to explain to us. It says, love endures long. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. It also says, it is not rude and does not act unbecomingly. It says, love does not insist on its own rights or in its own way, for it is not self-seeking. Wow. That means love is not selfish. That means when you say you love somebody or you say you work in love, you are not always looking out for your own selfish purpose every time. You always try to see from this person's perspective. You always try to put this person's interest before yours, especially in marriage, right? You're not just thinking about yourself, but you're thinking about your spouse. Even in a normal daily life, you're not just thinking about what favors you. You're also thinking about the next person close to you. You're also thinking about your colleague. You're also thinking about your church member, right? And it says, love is not touchy. It's not fretful. It's not resentful. It takes no account of evil done to it, or pays no attention to a suffered wrong. I was reading this part and I'm like, wow, this is not easy, right? Like, you have been wronged, you have been offended, and he's saying love does not take account of evil done to it. This can only be the love of God, right? And it's not impossible, because it says, as we keep gazing into the Word of God, we are being transformed daily into the image of God. So he's saying, someone might have wronged you. Your spouse might have offended you, right? So love does not
take account. This part was really tasking to me, like challenging. I'm like, you have done this to me, so I shouldn't remember it. But this is what love is. You don't give account. It's like God says, He forgives us and throws away our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. Love does not take account. Not that this person does this to you, and then you say you're forgiving the person, and in the next 3 weeks, the person does the same thing. You're like, no, you did it before. You have done it before, right? It says love does not take account. Ah, wow, this is amazing. This is amazing. It says, okay, it does not rejoice in injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevails. Says love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Wow. That means your love is not seasonal. Do you understand what I said? Love is a decision. It is not seasonal. It is not based on when things are favorable, right? It's not only, you don't only love when the person is doing the things that please you or things that makes you happy. It says love bears up under anything and everything that comes. That means in and out of season, you're expected to love. Wow! So great, so good. That says, love is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. The part for me is, it is ever ready to believe the best of every person. That is, we all understand that the person we're going to get married to, the person we're in a relationship with, the people that are our colleagues, our bosses, they are not the best people ever. But the word of God is saying that love is ready to believe the best of every person. So no matter how bad you say somebody is, there's a potential in that person to become better. There's a potential in that person to be the best version of himself. So love believes that version of the person. So love sees that best version and endures this version, right? And you know, believes that this person is going to be better, and hence is out there for the person. Wow. Wow. And says love never fails. It says prophecy will be fulfilled and it will pass away. As for tongues, they'll be destroyed. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Right? It says, but love never fails. So having said all of this, can we really now say that love is not enough? God is love. For me, love is enough. Look at all the things we just went through now. This just describes in every normal human being in their normal state. And this is love's response to it. So let it be that next time you're saying to somebody, I love you, you're literally telling the person, I have made a decision to be this way with you, right? When somebody says, I love you, when you say, I love you, this is what you mean. Wow. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. So, I think love is enough. So, let me hear from you. What do you think? After knowing all of this, do you still think that love is not enough in life? Love is not enough in relationships? So, thank you so much for spending the last 14 minutes with me. And please ignore my background noise. I have no other choice. Thanks for listening. If you have been blessed by this podcast, I want you to do me a big favor by sharing this podcast. If you think somebody needs to hear this, share this podcast. I love you so, so much, and see you in my next episode, which is very, very, very soon, by the grace of God. I love you, and keep being awesome, and keep living a life of love. Mwah! Oh,